All right, good morning. It is August 11, 2010, 10 a.m. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission, a special meeting with a couple of agenda items to deal with. This is Kevin Kramer along with Brian Kulk and Tony Clark in the special meeting. Tony joins us by phone and has given authority for Shar to sign the orders, assuming or should any of these motions pass. The first motion is in my portfolio, so I'll go ahead. I move the commission submit the 2011-2013 budget to the Office of Management and Budget in accordance with the governor's guidelines.
Second.
And we've all seen the budget as prepared by Josh. Again, meeting the governor's request, we're hold even, have a 3% option, 3% cut optional savings plan that we've identified as cutting two weights and measures positions should it be necessary, and of course there are a couple of other little things like the ERA carryovers and some additional AML contractual authority, but no new money, so everything looks to be in order. Good job, Josh. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks.
All in favor?
Aye. And then the next item is in Commissioner Clark's portfolio, Tony. Unless you want me to make the motion.
Oh, thanks. I've got the motions. They're on my BlackBerry, though, the same one that I'm talking on. So
okay.
If somebody else could make those, I think they're three motions, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, in the regular agenda we have the one, and then in the special we have one or two of them that are yours, I think.
Okay.
So that's fine. I'd be happy to.
If somebody could make all those, that'd be great.
Okay, now just so you know, Dave Thompson just came into the room, so. I'll make the motion, and then do you want to describe the motion then after that, Tony?
Sure.
Okay. Very good. TC1. I move the commission file an application with the District Court, Northeast Central Judicial District, for appointment as trustee of Organic Grain and Milling, LLC, at its Clyde, North Dakota facility under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 60-04 in Public Service Commission Case Number GE-10-327.
Second.
Sure, and this is a insolvency that we received 2 days ago. I don't have the exact date, but we wanted to at least get the paperwork filed on this particular one. I don't have it in front of me right now, but if Kevin, if you want to describe the paperwork, or Sue, I assume you're there too, you could fill in the blanks as well.
Yeah, we sure could. In fact, Dave, I think there's even a sheet there with sort of a timeline of activity that led to the insolvency determination. And of course, you'd think I would have that someplace here, and I know I do. There it is. But basically, the grain warehouse license was issued in February of 2005. It's a 124,000 bushel warehouse, which means that its bond then is $62,500, and that's significant because the bond amount is based on the bushel capacity. 100,001 to 125,000 bushels equals a $62,500 bond. We received a bond cancellation notice in October of last year, and their grain warehouse license was suspended, and licensee had until January 27th to procure and file an adequate bond. On February 10th of this year, we issued an order revoking the license for failure to maintain adequate bond coverage, and then received our first claim against their first claim on June 17th of this year from Kodiak Farms Limited, and that is a claim for $177,623.44 plus interest. After that, in conversations and correspondence with our staff, Organic Grain and Milling did send an email to us identifying four additional claims totaling approximately $35,000. So, as you can see, the bond is $62,500. Claims, of course, are over $200,000. Now, whether those would be against the bond or against the indemnity fund, that remains to be seen, or at least remains to be verified at this point. So this is a company that has did inform us that they've liquefied all of their or liquidated all their assets and paid whatever they could to producers, and so it is a company that's obviously been out of business for some time. At least in North Dakota, it's been out of business for some time, and seems to be working to try and clean everything up. So we appreciate that and appreciate their cooperation. And as far as insolvencies go, this one's better than some because at least there's not a Chapter 11 or a bankruptcy involved in it. So anyway, Tony, I mean, in that's the basics. We can ask questions later.
All in favor?
Aye. What I think we'll do before, rather than going to questions right away, let's go right to the admin agenda, especially since we have Tony on the phone. We'll deal with this because it's a pretty simple deal, and because there are some motions attached to it. It's more motions, more business than it is actual discussion, and what it centers around is we need some additional legal assistance for some siting cases since we've lost Annette and haven't been able to, and we're still in the process of hiring another attorney. So there are three siting cases coming up, and we need to have motions to. And working with the Attorney General's office, so they've been very cooperative to find us somebody who can provide the legal services to assist us in these cases. So, Tony, one of them is in your portfolio, two of them are in mine. I'll just go ahead and read each one. We'll vote on them, and then we can talk about them if it's necessary. I move the commission retain Mitchell D. Armstrong to provide legal services to assist the commission in processing case number PU09370.
Second.
Oh, nuts. Okay, this isn't part of the motion, but this is the Ashley Wind Power Project in McIntosh County.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Usually the motion says that when it's a... But anyway, it's okay that it doesn't. It's okay that it doesn't. Okay, KC, one. I move the commission retain Mitchell D. Armstrong to provide legal services to assist the commission in processing case number PU09750.
Second.
This is the crude oil pipeline, the Bridger pipeline in the McKenzie, Dunn, and Billings counties, and their siting application. We have a hearing coming up on that, and we've already, I guess...
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, and finally, I move the commission retain Mitchell D. Armstrong to provide legal services to assist the commission in processing case number PU10-120. And this is, go ahead.
Second.
This is the siting application for the Tioga Gas Plant Edition, the Hess Gas Plant up in Tioga.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. That
for August 30th.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, we've got a lot of big siting cases, not the least of which is we still have one in Minot or in Berthold. Anyway, with that, are there any questions, Dave?
Well, let me just ask, who is Mitchell Armstrong?
He's an assistant attorney general. He's private. I lied. He does have the designation, but he is a private attorney in town here.
Dave, in these cases, we have been working with the AG's office. They indicated that they didn't think they had the personnel on staff to handle these cases right away, but they recommended Mr. Armstrong, who I think has a, I don't know if it's a permanent designation, but sort of a standing arrangement of some kind, and so that he comes through their recommendation.
Yeah. I would offer too, Dave, is that while the impetus for this was Annette's changing positions, I think this is going to become more the business as usual of bringing in extra people to do siting cases, because when our first motion was the budget, and we've got the whole even budget reduced 3% with all kinds of work coming in, that I think we're going to see more of our siting fees covering more kind of this services. So this won't be unique to just this one time, I think, in the next two-year period.
And I actually think, you know, building up a body of expertise in this arena is going to be pretty darn important to the state going forward. And so while it's nice to have all that body of expertise rest with Alana, it's kind of nice to spread that out a little bit because you know, things change, you know, the cycles change. And so to have a little bit of that expertise within a number of people, perhaps assistant attorneys general, as well as even in the private sector that are available, is
we have a consultant important. Helping us out with the MDU rate case now. And we'll have these three helping us with these sightings. So we're building more and more experience to help us out to keep the workload moving forward.
In terms of organic grain and milling, are farmers getting paid pretty much whole, or is it cents on the dollar, significant cents on the dollar?
Tony, you might want to talk about that too. But at this point, we don't know because, of course, this just begins that process. If we're granted trusteeship and things move forward as we anticipate they will, then there will be, of course, that notice opportunity for filing claims. And after the second notice is filed, then farmers in the area would have, or producers would have, 45 days, I guess, to file a claim. So we neither know the total number of claims or the potential claims or how much they would add up to, nor do we know whether they would be against the bond or against the indemnity fund. And those things would all have to be determined before we'd know exactly how much recovery or relief a farmer would get.
So I'm clear, though, they've been out of business for a while.
They have, yeah.
And where is Clyde?
Where's Leo when you need him? Pardon me? In Cavalier County, yeah, it's northeast, yeah.
Well, since this will be filed in northeast central Grand Forks, right?
That sounds, is that the?
More Langdon.
Yeah, I was thinking there is another district up there, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, about the budget.
About the budget, yeah, you're always curious about the budget.
I am curious about the budget, so. You did come up with a budget that's 100% plus a 3% potential savings. Did you ask for any enhancements?
We did not, Dave, ask for any enhancements other than some spending authority in the AML line, which is 100% federal funding for construction projects. And that's, again, that has no impact on our general fund budget at all. The 3% optional savings plan has been identified as cutting two weights and measures employees, which would save us the $173,088 that's 3% of our general fund budget. We certainly hope it doesn't get to that, but we just have one of those budgets that is largely employees. I mean, that's what we are. We're regulators, and so the only discretion we have in finding those types of cuts is in personnel. So. It sums it up. I mean, there's a lot of other little things in it, but by and large, it's a hold even budget, just as the governor requested. Brian makes an important point, though, and we've talked about this as well in the past. While we aren't asking for more people to deal with a growing workload, we do have additional authority because so much of our workload requires the filing of a filing fee or a permit application fee, whether it's a siting case or a rate case, and we do have the ability now, the flexibility to use that money to hire outside consultants, third parties, independents, and utilize the expertise in the private sector while meeting our workload and not growing the bureaucracy.
It'll be interesting to see as, historically, we've refunded a large portion of those siting fees. You know, if it's $100,000, we give back $90,000. And I think as this evolves and the companies perhaps don't get back that large number, maybe even any of that siting fee, whether they'll be lobbying on their own behalf to get us to get more full-time staff. So the companies, I think, are going to kind of wait and see on this too.
And they'll do that because just you need the expertise outside.
I don't think there'll be a debate about needing to have the workforce to help them do their cases. It's just a matter of, is it better for us to hire one or two people at a fixed rate or them to have a lot of flexibility or a lot of differences in the siting fee money that comes back to them?
Yeah, one of the things we're very conscientious of is potential conflicts of interest and those types of things. So whether it's attorneys or consultants, engineering firms, there are a lot of people in this industry in North Dakota. This energy, especially industry, is quite a dynamic industry in our state. So the expertise is growing, but there are also entities that are working for various companies that might be coming before us. So exactly how we move forward with all of that is uncertain right now, but we have got to do something to make sure we meet the workload, meet the urgency of deadlines, which, I know it seems almost cliche-ish, but every project that comes before us is urgent. And it's not that they're just making that up. I mean, whether it's getting oil out of the state and reducing the discounts that producers are receiving in terms of the price that they're receiving for their product, or if it's a wind farm that needs to get built before a production tax credit runs out, or the ERA funds run out, or whatever it might be, there is an urgency to all of this development. We want to do it, meet deadlines, but we have to do it properly and do it appropriately, and make sure that we do not compromise our charge at all.
If I could, Dave, the two weights and measure positions that have been basically offered up, I'll be down there lobbying the folks to keep those positions, because I think what we'll see back on those is that there is contractors out there that can provide those services, but it's not as affordable as when we do it. So you're going to see the grocery store owners or others are going to all of a sudden have their costs go up. So you know, there'll be a price to pay there too. So, but that'll be a legislative decision.
Well, I kind of hesitate to ask this question, but I've had people ask me, you know, because I cover the Capitol. It almost sounds a little counterintuitive when the state's got millions of dollars in surplus to have a hold even budget or maybe a 3% reduction.
I think the perception might be rosier than the reality in some cases. The other thing is that it's good, prudent fiscal policy that allows us to have excesses from time to time. You look at the states that spend like crazy, they're the ones that don't have excesses in their budget, that don't have big balances. In fact, they have huge deficits. So I think that, you know, it's just good, prudent fiscal policy that's indicative not only of our government but of our culture that's put us in this position, is what will keep us in this position.
Well, I think I would agree with Kevin that the drill that we went through inside the commission to identify that 3%, there was some value in that. Now we're going to be going back and ask to keep everything we have, but we kind of had to, you know, make sure that everything we're doing is valid, it's needed, it's required, and we felt that that was the one function that we could move if we had to, but it did really make us scrub everything else. So I don't have a problem with that part at all.
So you think the exercise itself was valuable just to...
I think,
you know,
so. For me personally,
top to bottom review almost.
Very much so.
Dave, this is going to sound really radical, but why not? See, I've been an advocate for a long time of zero-based budgeting. I don't know why you assume that 100% of your budget is worth keeping. That's not how any of us would run our homes, of course, and not the way any of us would run our businesses. So personally, I think the exercise it's invaluable, and it's an exercise that we ought to be doing as a matter of just doing business every single day. We ought to be reviewing our priorities and making sure that we're doing the things we should be doing, rather than when something new, some new idea comes up, going and getting extra funding for it. You ought to review all of your priorities and see if there's not one that could be dropped to and replaced by a higher priority. There's nothing
else?
We'll
talk about higher education.
Oh, boy.
I don't believe we have jurisdiction in that area at this time.
I'd like it for a day, though. If there's nothing else, we'll end the meeting and sign orders. And, Tony, thanks. Char, we'll sign your name. All right.